Pastrami on rye. It's with some sauerkraut, maybe. That was a good sandwich. Nice weather.
Yeah, we've been realizing that talking before recording that this is actually the fourth part of the trilogy. It's a trilogy in four parts, which is okay because this podcast is two-thirds English. So we're allowed to make that joke.
Yeah. You can't stop us.
We do what we want.
Reminds me of a certain book, I'd say.
Well, there's a certain doubtful salmon, but anyway, that's something for a different time, a different conversation entirely. Hi, welcome to Indulgently Minimal. I am Moggy, and I am joined today by Jeff.
Hey up, guys.
And Murdoch.
Hello, everyone.
And on this week's patented Blobcast, we will not be talking about Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but instead the fourth...
So long, and thanks for all the fish.
But instead, we will be discussing the fourth part of our trilogy, the what to do with the created space, i.e. so much room for activities.
So, like, we've spent the last 3 weeks really discussing about reduction and creating a space and creating nice islands of tranquility within our lives. And now we're going to talk about filling them with all sorts of stuff. This is like the last season of Game of Thrones. We're undoing everything we spent all our time working on.
Character development? What's character development?
We're putting it into practice. Like, what has set my mind at ease for the past couple of weeks, actually, has been this mentality of, like, nothing is important.
All right.
Nothing matters. No.
It's nothing is important. Like, you have mentioned this. When everything is set to the same priority, nothing is important anymore. It becomes very difficult to focus. So if you start off with the fact that nothing is important, then you can, you know, you're regaining back some of that agency.
Yeah.
And deciding what is important to you at a specific point in time. Priorities can change, and they should.
Well, for sure. And that's kind of what subtraction is about in many, many ways. To bore everybody in the room with an audio engineer idea, you know, it's taking all of your dials, turning them to the minimum level they need to be at, and then just increasing the things one at a time, figuring out where things need to be for everything to work. If everything starts at 11, you just end up with Spinal Tap.
This is exactly how my shower works, where you have to dial up the cold water ever so slightly because just a little bit over and it turns ice cold. So it makes sense. Like in little increments.
English plumbing. Love it.
Why would you need a mixer tap when you can have two taps? It makes so much sense.
One ice cold and one straight from the fiery furnaces of hell.
And I wouldn't like it any other way because I don't understand what comfort is.
The whole point of subtraction isn't to turn us into aesthetics. We're not trying to strip everything down to the meme of the minimalist who is sat there with the knife and the spoon and is pondering whether or not he needs a fork. That's not what we're advocating for here. The whole point of subtraction is to create a space, a blank canvas, upon which you can express yourself better.
Express yourself. It gives you the time to really, understand what it is that you actually want to do, whether it be professional or just personal.
Yeah, because we've made the comment before that some people will actually say that, like, they find their mess conducive and that they know where everything is and they work best this way. But I think in many ways, like, we need to create a space for especially our creativity in order to be our best, and in some cases, be at all. I know I've found in my recent attempts at doing a little bit of personal writing, it wasn't until I sat myself down and went, right, okay, here's an hour. This is what we're going to do now. We're writing. That was when I finally was able to produce something. You know, that's subtraction.
Yeah, subtract, you know. Having had created that space, that time, that pocket, and then sitting down or standing up, I mean, you know, riding standing desks are really healthy, to just do the thing that you were planning on doing or experience the thing you were planning on experiencing, but doing it with intent and having the opportunity to do with intent and without the distraction and without the stress of the mess. And just having that pocket of time and place to just do the writing or do the pottery or lay on your back and do nothing and roll around on the carpet.
Well, yeah. Hmm. And while creativity is one form of self-expression that we want to talk about, it's not the only form of self-expression, because there are many, many forms that self-expression takes, and not everybody either is or wants to be creative, but rather they just want to express themselves, whether that's through playing video games or, I don't know, reading. Even like what we're talking about is carving out spaces of time where you can do the things that help you as a person express your individuality, grow as yourself.
Like engaging and enjoying activities and things that you enjoy as a person, that fulfill you as a person, giving you an opportunity to exercise things that you like, that make you you, that are part of your personality. That's very much self-expression. You know, going to the, you know, if you like going outside and looking at ducks, going outside and looking at ducks is a form of self-expression, because you're engaging with a part of yourself that you may have been unable to access, maybe because it's winter and there ain't no ducks, or maybe because you haven't given yourself the time to go look at said duck. I've been looking at a lot of ducks lately. I walk past the canal in the morning and all the ducks, we haven't got the hatchlings yet.
Are all the ducks swimming in the water?
All the ducks are swimming in the water.
Hello?
Sorry, deep English EDM cut there. Never mind. Moving on.
I'm guessing also self-expression in terms of actually, we talk about media a lot, selecting the books you want to read, selecting the music you want to listen to, selecting the movies you want to listen to, and then forming an opinion on them later on. Maybe to have a nice discussion with friends.
Yeah, listening to music is one of my ways of self-expression. It's not a necessarily creative, I mean, I'm not writing music, but I find that by sitting down and listening to music, I am able to process my emotions, my feelings. I am sometimes able to then be creative afterwards, because it's given me inspiration. It's helped me get into the right space. So I think there's like a Venn diagram here of creativity and self-expression, and there is a significant amount of crossover. But I don't want to do is make people feel like I'm saying you must be creative. Look, we've created all this space. Go forth and write the great American novel. Not what we're saying.
No, and of course, there's this idea that creativity is, there's art, there's music, there's writing, but creativity can exist in so many different variations. It can be cooking, it can be reorganizing your furniture around, it's decorating, it's so many different things. It's not just, say, art, I say in air quotes. There are many ways of being creative, as there are many ways of being self-expressive.
So with that out of the way, I guess we slap the top of this space and say, like, you can fit so much in this bad boy. What are we fitting in said bad boy?
Ooh. I don't know yet. I think for at least this part of the conversation, I've tried out something in the past couple of weeks that has actually set my mind at ease. I've taken a tip from Jeff. And hello, Jeff. I buried the Dead Bird app deep into like folders where it's very annoying to access, and as such, I've not been accessing it anymore.
Opening up your emails an awful lot though by accident.
No, just tapping on an empty space on the screen. It's been very odd, I guess, readapting. But what I have found is that it has actually freed up a lot of mental space. I am still sort of figuring out what to do with. It's less the time wasting, even though it is a very big aspect of this. More so like the doom and gloom and the dread that follows like using said Dead Bird app and or forms of social media in the current state of the world.
The doom scrolling really does have severe effects on your mental health. It really does. And whilst, as we've mentioned before, you know, like a lot of things, it's important to stay aware to a degree, and it's important to stay up to date with current events, but not at the cost of just being miserable because the world is full of idiots.
And to add to that, it's basically like, yes, to a certain degree, it's very important to be able to filter out a lot of noise, but not to the extent that it has reached today. Like, it is very, very taxing on mental faculties to just like eliminate stuff you don't need to see, you don't want to see, to be able to find maybe either the right information or the right entertainment, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, like, this is why, you know, like there are alternatives to the Dead Bird site. There are alternatives to social media.
Hmm.
And we've mentioned Mastodon. Mastodon is another good one. You know, you've got the ability to curate something. You can you have a blank space at the beginning and you can curate it to exactly what you want to see. You know, it's a nice example of in the digital world, but we can do that with so much other things. You know, we have this, we've created this space and we can now curate it exactly as we like to see exactly what we want, which is why mine is full of ducks and moss and flowers and, I haven't got capybaras on there.
Ah. One more to add to the list. Yes.
I mean, come on, they're giant water potatoes. Who doesn't love capybaras?
Happy little mammals.
Happy little mammals whose entire existence is basically like living a spa day every day.
Like, they are the chillest animals. They get along with everybody. Like, everybody loves capybaras.
Hmm.
I mean, just the image of the capybara in the hot pool with the orange on its head. It's genuinely amazing. Capybara.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. It's like you make an evaluation of whether the effort required to find what you're looking for is just too much. And the evaluation might be that it's not worth it.
So I think what we're coming around to is this idea that sometimes the space that we're creating is really a breathing space for our mind. In many ways. And I think this was sort of the unsaid undercurrent, almost the fifth episode of this trilogy, which the mental subtraction, trying to remove the negativity, the drip of dread, as we've said, all of these things that are oppressing us. And it is difficult, you know, not going to lie. It's very difficult for us to disconnect entirely from all of this. But I think once you do, or even if you just take a break, like a little social media holiday or something, you realize like it's like turning off a fan or turning off the air conditioning, and you realize that that kind of, you've been inundated with this constant noise the whole time, and suddenly it's like,
yeah,
ah.
Oh wow, I was actually incredibly stressed for a long period of time. This is what normal feels like. It really does require that subtraction to actually understand how bad it was for you.
Yeah.
From the micro with the air conditioning noise to the macro with just very strange, angry people yelling with signs, it really does have a massive effect. And when you have that realization and suddenly you have this quiet space, it's like, so much room for activities.
And like you said, there are ways of bringing these things back into our lives in a much more controlled way. Like you said, you know, we use Mastodon as a podcast, and part of the reason why is that modularity. You're able to filter out far more than Twitter, especially modern Twitter, allows you to. So you can interact with the world, but in a far more controlled way, whether that's you just want to turn your feed into an image board filled with sylvan images of moss and ducks, or
just moss is just so cool, or mushrooms, moss and mushrooms, because mushrooms are so cool.
I'm that was one of my favorite subreddits, actually. It's just people sharing pictures of various fungi.
Like, a complete side tangent, mushrooms are fascinating. Like, just spend some time reading up on mushrooms, and it's like they are so cool. They're like this whole other like kingdom of life. They're not animals, they're not plants, they're amazing. Also, you can't overcook them, because they don't have, their cell walls aren't the same as plants, so they don't wilt. You've got to cook them like meat, not vegetables.
Fun fact.
It's a fun guy fact.
Interesting.
Well, they're great at parties, they're a fun guy.
Woo!
I guess that's also an important thing. It's like you have a topic of interest. You want to focus on one topic of interest as opposed to the current algorithms, which is like, hey, here's cats. Hey, here's mushrooms. Hey, here's ducks. Hey, here's horrors of the world. Hey, here's a bicycle.
Wait, like, what was that last one?
Cats?
That's pretty much it. Just being able to enjoy a said topic without being sort of tempted by every other thing that comes along. And, you know, by the end of it, you don't remember any of it.
Yeah, you're just left with that sensation. You don't remember half of the articles you read or the headlines if most people don't even click through anymore. But you're left with the unease, the misery, the unhappiness.
Often I find like you've had like a busy day at work and you've been going from task to task to task to task and you feel frazzled at the end of it.
Mm.
You can get that same kind of feeling from modern social media. You're just frazzled at the end of it. You've been bombarded and attacked by all this information. Mm. Whereas ideally, you know, we get to focus on one thing at a time and really engage with a specific thing and then move on to the next one. Because I don't know, I know there's like monotropism and polytropism, which is like a whole, you know, our ability to focus and engage with tasks and things. Some people are better, some people are more poly and some people are more mono. But I think as a whole, we're not really built as human beings to constantly be jumping from information to information to information. Our brains aren't built that way.
And I think you kind of give us another reason that these spaces are important, where our work life is often so much out of our control that it can be a source of many different impacts on us, whether that is stress, whether it's positive. A lot of people draw a lot of their self-worth through their job. So when that's either challenged or unsatisfying, it's a significant problem. And these subtractions that we're doing, these spaces that we're trying to create, are meant to help us navigate all of this, where I know a positive for me has been a sense of letting go of the things that I don't have control over and kind of just like, this is happening, make your peace with it. Our jobs can sometimes be a very fulfilling and important part of our identity, and they can also just simply be a place we go to make money. Both are, you know, I'm not advocating for one or the other.
They can be both, and they can be both at the same time, and they can be both at different times.
But these spaces that we're trying to create and then utilize are important, because if you're not drawing your self-worth from your job, and then but your job is also draining you, and then social media is draining you, you don't have that space. And you know, in my mind, it's a very fiddler's green situation, where like the spaces are like Jeff's sort of sylvan spaces, like green grass and wild flowers, and it's very peaceful. There's a slight breeze, not too hot, not too cold. You might need a jacket. You never know. But it's a very peaceful place, and you're able to sort of like, as you said, once you remove some of this noise, whether it's digital, social media, whatever, you're able to relax and just breathe just for a moment, just like let go. And then you can start to reclaim some more of the parts of yourself, as we said, self-expression, creativity. You then find that those spaces kind of come back with you. They kind of creep back into everything else you do. You're more able to fill your tasks at work. You're able to do the tasks you need to do without feeling so drained.
It's a very much a case of everywhere you go, there you are. If you are not, you know, if you are drained and you are not fulfilled if you're not getting fulfillment from some capacity somewhere, it doesn't matter where you go and what you do, you're not going to be happy, you're going to be stressed. But if you're able to take that time, make that space, go prod some mushrooms, figuratively or, you know, literally.
Depends on
the mushroom. Some mushrooms don't touch. I mean, in fact, probably don't touch mushrooms at all. Moss. Go touch moss.
Poke it with a stick.
Oh, it's just like moss. It's like, ah.
We're losing him. Come back to us, Jeff.
It's just like a fuzzy, happy carpet of nature.
Like, there's a lot to be said for this. Go touch grass. Go outside. It is a healing process.
It is. We've at least off the podcast discussed the idea of like brute forcing into a task.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I said up top the idea of like, okay, this is the hour. You're going to do this. You're going to write. That's it. No more distractions. No more YouTube. No, just do the thing. So there is this idea of brute forcing it, like we said, sitting down and trying to force your way through. But it's not the first time I've tried to do that, and it's been less successful. So there are things that hold us back other than time. So there's, like you alluded to earlier, there's this idea of the general dread and malaise that social media is imparting onto us. And I think it takes more out of us than we maybe realize.
Yes, pretty much. Like, for me, it's something as simple as, you know, not engaging with social media by moving the application icon elsewhere on the phone where it's not as easily accessible has freed up so much mental space that I've at least been able to relax.
Well, it's very much putting into practice a lot of the things that we talked about, where we're saying that I think many of these services have become habitual in their usage for us. We open Twitter, we open Reddit, we open Instagram because that's what we do. I've seen this with so many people where, you know, I'll literally say to a friend, hey, could you look something up for me? They'll pick up their phone and somehow they've opened something like Facebook or Instagram. It's like, what are you doing? I asked you to Google something for me. And it's just like, oh, I picked up my phone. And literally, like, it was like a well-practiced movement. Mm. We don't realize, like, it's not just an addiction. It's habitual. It's just how we've grown used to using these devices. So very much what Jeff suggested and what you now have put into practice helps us just break out of that habit so that we can access these services at least more mindfully, right?
Yes. Mm. Sometimes you're just allowing your brain to do that double take, that second look, does wonders. It really does.
Mm-hmm. And whereas I'm not immediately filling up that free space with other things which I have been meaning to do, it is definitely making it a bit easier. I'm left a little bit to my devices with a bit of boredom and maybe some curiosity to try something new.
Yeah. Well, boredom is very underrated as a feeling. I think we've spent the last 20 years desperately trying to remove boredom at every single corner.
You almost kill boredom. Like,
or kill boredom,
want it.
We need it. We need to be bored. Not all the time, but being bored is very, very important for so many things. It's very dangerous for men of a certain age bracket because that's the point we start making weird death trap machines by accident. Or going down hills on trolleys. Everybody's done it. Don't even at me.
Hmm.
But being bored can lead to so many incredible things.
Yeah.
Because the mind is just left to wander. And yeah, we've been killing that for so long. And it's kind of sad, but it's nice to know that it's not just us. There's a lot of conversation out there in the world about it that are kind of trying to get back to that state.
Mm-hmm.
So there is nice. There is a clear pushback against what's been happening for the past 20 years.
Hmm. So I think where we're kind of landing is that we are having some success putting into practice these ideas. And, you know, as a reminder to the listener, we are not experts. We are not professors of minimalism nor indulgence. We are learning as we go. We're discussing these ideas as much for ourselves as they are for the listener. And I think what we're seeing here very much is that we're creating empty blank spaces. And there is a lot of feelings that come with a blank canvas, that come with an empty word processor page. Anyone who's tried to write knows the dread of staring at an empty sheet of paper, just taunting you, in fact. Mm. Go on, write something.
Go on.
Draw something.
Sully me.
Mm. But there is, it's a different kind of dread. It's not that drip feed of, you know, doom scroll horror. It's electrical. It's tantalizing. It's exciting.
Like, it's not necessarily dread at all. It's anticipation. And because I think for a lot of us now, we're so unused to having that blank space, that anticipation of not knowing what's going to happen. You can't just scroll on to the next thing. You have to sit there and actually think and do it.
Yeah,
and it's exciting, but it's also scary for a lot of us because we haven't done it for a long time.
And it also feeds into so many of for some people, everybody experiences this very differently, so this is very much personal views here, but there is that kind of fear of failure. What if I write something and it's terrible? What if I
have to write the most perfect sentence that ever existed first time?
Well, like, how many people just, I mean, okay, how many me buy like diaries and journals and then never write in them because it's like, oh, if I make a mistake, then it's no longer this perfect historical document that I have carefully crafted. You know,
I blame The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings for this, for Bilbo and Frodo writing those beautiful books in those big leather-bound things. Nobody does that. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Things are written on pieces of paper and then are bound into leather. You don't buy a big, hard-bound leather book and write a journal in it. Yeah. Although you can do, but that's not the way the greats have ever been written.
I was definitely reading something on, like, you know, what the actual reason for procrastination is. It may stem from some of that, like, you know, perfectionism, like unattainable perfectionism. And the problem is when that turns into sort of like guilty procrastination, as is the case with, you know, doom scrolling through social media. I know we come back, like, we have been maybe a little too focused on social media as a topic.
It's a very poignant thing. It's very much on our minds right now. So we do want to move on from it, but if we're going to discuss it, now's the time.
That is the point. It's like there's guilty procrastination. There is the attention economy, as we keep referring to it. It's basically, it's a losing game. Sometimes the only way to win is not to play. And it's a hard lesson, especially to unlearn the habits that we have.
As well as because it's a crutch. Like, just to build on what you're saying, we've used these apps as a mental crutch. I'm bored. I want to fill the boredom. And if you've tried to do some creative things recently, you may have experienced the same thing. When you start to feel those negative emotions of like, oh, am I really good enough? Can I do this? Sometimes my first impulse is to pick up the phone and to almost like a baby going to the bottle, like, just give me some comfort. I just want to scroll. Yeah. It's, you know, we have become addicted to this. We have turned them into this crutch, this habitual usage. And yeah, the first step is removing the crutch and learning to walk again in these little empty spaces. And we have to, I guess, be kind to ourselves. This is a scary thing. This isn't an easy thing. If it was easy, we would just do it. We wouldn't need to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And these empty spaces, as exciting as they are also scary. And it's okay to feel that way. And you have to feel those feelings. You have to accept them and then be a little brave and write that terrible piece of poetry that no one's ever going to read because you immediately screw it up and throw it away. But guess what? Underneath that piece of paper you've just thrown away is another piece of paper. We can keep subtracting. We can keep taking out a new blank sheet. And it doesn't matter if the doodle you drew is terrible. You drew it.
Mm-hmm.
You did self-expression. Congratulations. That's enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I said, we're here to thrive. We're here to thrive. That's the whole point.
Well said, Jeff. Well said.
With some of that free space as well, maybe, you know, clock in a few more hours of sleep. And like that has been a surprising thing that I've experienced as well.
You can't tell me what to do.
Go to bed, Jeff.
What is it? Revenge procrastination, as we've mentioned the other episode as well. That mental space is just, it's also improved sleep quality to a certain extent. It's also improved my ability to sit down and engage with people a little bit better. Spend some time with friends, go for a walk, have a Reuben, enjoy the nice weather.
Well, and that's it. So, yeah, we create these spaces to enjoy them, and as Jeff so perfectly put it, to thrive in them. So give it a try. I hope you if you take anything away from these episodes is try something and maybe something good will come from it. So before we end our blobcast, let's do our gratitudes. So, Murdoch, what have you been grateful for this past month?
Well, it's a bit ironic considering what we've just said. I have been grateful for digital spaces which actually allow you to connect with real people. It's like it's using the platforms to connect to other people as opposed to just being on the platforms. You have some nice conversations with people with whom you can make, you know, either acquaintances or lifelong friends.
Genuine friendships,
genuine connections with real people. I think the tools available are fantastic for that when used correctly.
I want to say with all of what we've been talking about, we kind of do demonize the internet at large, and rightfully so in many, many ways. And it's a shame because we've forgotten to a large degree the absolute magic of something like, let's say, Discord, which is a digital tool that punches a hole through the universe and allows you to connect directly to somebody anywhere in the world and share thoughts and feelings and friendship.
And memes, it's, most importantly, memes.
Most importantly, memes. I mean, you know, you go back 100 years, go back, you know, the idea that you could share images, text, speak to somebody face to face, you'd sound like,
crazy.
Yeah.
You'd sound like a crazy person, but it's
beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's not magic, but it's magic.
Speaking of which, Jeff, I'm taking a look. Go on, give us your gratitude. I'm going to veto the next one, you know that.
Okay, fair enough. I am very, very happy and grateful for Baldur's Gate 3, but I've been talking about it for like the past months or the past
months.
So Baldur's Gate 3, but really what has been really, really wonderful this month is with the days getting longer, being able to get up and go to work in the daylight and come home in the daylight. It's something, I know it happens every year, but every year it's like, oh my God, this is wonderful. I can see where I'm going. It's not miserable. I can see the ducks are coming back. I can hear the quacking. It is a really nice way to start the day because I work so early in the morning. It's kind of nice to see the sun. So yeah, that's what I've been grateful for. And Baldur's Gate 3.
And Baldur's Gate 3.
Ah, a happy plant with complicated emotions.
Very much.
Well, for me, I'm going to somewhat borrow from Murdoch and try and take some positivity to the extreme negativity we've had to touch upon in the past 6-8 episodes. I'm really grateful for all of the content creators that are still out there making genuinely good content. I mean, I want to call out the likes of No Dogs in Space. I have discovered so much amazing music just from listening to this podcast. My Analog Journal, again, just people trying to do DJ sets online, obscure music.
Just music that they love, you know, music that they love that they want to share.
You know, and then there's the likes of CGP Grey. Jeff, you have a great YouTube channel you love very much.
Oh, Answers in Progress. I love Answers in Progress.
Yeah, you know. I'm very grateful that even in this time that is very difficult for creators specifically, there are people who are still putting in the effort to create great content that we are able to access for free. Mm-hmm. And that while we have to be more mindful of these platforms, we have to put in more effort filtering and engaging in a way that is healthy for us. When we do so, like, there is still amazing content out there that, and I'm just so grateful for all of it. So awesome. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, sorry, not me.
All right. So we've been Indulgently Minimal. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. We're going to come with some new episodes next week, so stay subscribed for that. You can follow us on Instagram. You can follow us on Mastodon. We're on some social media, not others. So check the show notes for links and check us out there. If you want to go old school, send us an email. We are indulgentlyminimal@gmail.com. Thoughts, questions, comments, we love hearing from you. So send us an email. We're on Ko-fi, ko-fi.com/indulgentlyminimal. Thank you to everybody that's helping support the show. We appreciate each and every one of you. I've been Moggy, and I've been joined today by Jeff.
Thanks, guys. Remember to go easy on yourselves.
And Murdoch.
And remember, folks, indulge a little.
Thanks for joining us. See you for the next one. Bye.
See you later, guys.
Take care, everyone.